listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table. On the last episode of 12 Gauge.
Goal 7510 requesting to fuck or bearing northeast.
Walking up to the roulette table and put 500 on black.
I'm sorry, sir. Better luck next time.
You remember that movie Men in Black? That's how I got this movie.
Were you working for Will Smith?
What's up, buddy?
What's up, Garf?
There's currently an ongoing program operation in this area, and we need someone to help in an auxiliary capacity. We need somebody to help with an arms deal. If I'm not back in 15 minutes, continue with that. Change of plans. You and Galleon are getting pulled for something more important. The runway's cleared, navigation information is being uploaded to your system, and your briefing is in the plane. Take off now.
What I just read's heavy. No matter what, I got your back.
You can't fully dunk the whole donut.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can tear it apart into pieces with your hands.
I can do that to someone else here.
Can't we pretend for 1 second that we live in a civilized society and not make suggestions like that?
I mean, that's what I would do. That's
profound.
What I do.
But you're fucking feral.
Do you dunk your donuts?
That actually opens up a pretty interesting conversation because I have a very strong opinion on this. I drink coffee every morning. How I like it is just whatever roast I decide to get. It's usually like a medium roast or a dark roast sometimes. Just right off of the coffee machine and just like a splash of creamer. No sugar, no other cream. The creamer I usually do like hazelnut or French vanilla or whatever, and just like the tiniest littlest bit. But my bigger question is, do you guys ever drink coffee and dunk shit in it? Because I was on a ripper for a solid year where I would have a biscotti with my coffee single morning.
That's a banger.
Some of them were like chocolate covered a little bit. Some of them had like bits of almonds in them and stuff like that. I would do a solid year where I just dunked the biscotti in the coffee and drank the coffee, and that was it. And when you finish the coffee, there's a little bit of like biscotti crumbs all soaking up at the bottom of it. Suck that down. It was so good.
You know what it is? That's like the premium version of oatmeal because it's like hot and flavorful.
Yes.
And the biscotti gets softened just enough. And
I know.
Dude, it's fucking. That's like adult Oreos.
And I love biscotti. I always liked biscotti ever since I was a little wee lad running around. And my Nona would make me espresso because I was a big boy, and I would have a biscotti alongside it.
That's more of a dessert thing. Really. I feel like I'm dunking something in my coffee. It's like a dessert thing.
But I want to just kind of make it clear about expectations here real quick. So you guys are separated. Very, very far away. You guys are going to be doing completely separate things for however long. So I've never had to navigate that with a Delta Green table. You guys being so far away from each other, doing things completely independent. So I just want to, like I said, set the expectations that there's going to be time between one half of you guys doing something and the other half of you guys doing something. Sometimes it might be half a session where we don't touch on the other group because the one group is in the shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So just to kind of make it clear to you guys that jumping back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, expect to just be listening for like maybe 30 minutes at a time sometimes, depending on where the action are, where the action is. When there's a lull, that's where we kind of switch over. All right, back to you guys. The times are going to be completely different. You guys are going to be doing stuff an hour behind. You guys are going to be doing stuff an hour ahead. It's just how it's going to happen. But I'm super excited to play it like that because I never really have. Let me get a recap of that last session though.
I think she knows that. I don't think she like bought it.
I don't think she believed him
at all.
I think it was very. I think her knowing her son, she's probably of the belief that
this just is another story.
No, she believes he believes it. Kind of a deal.
I don't think
it's
that.
But he's probably involved with some shady people, and you know he's doing what he can do to bring the money home. I don't think she cares, but I don't think she
believes.
You think that she thinks that he's like getting the wool pulled over his eyes?
I think she believes he's doing something, but he's not working for who he believes he's working for.
Okay.
I think in her mind, she's probably like, there's no way they would recruit my son for this.
Mm-hmm. No human intelligence checks on your own mother. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's like a minus 60 to any roll.
Yeah. You know your mother, though.
Right.
So, crack it open a little bit. What was the... Why? Why'd you do it? And you don't have to reveal anything that you don't feel comfortable expressing.
So, like, it's going to come up in all of your characters' lives. I just...
You're trying to get ahead of it?
I just did it. Yeah, I just got ahead of the allegations.
Like the response like, came first.
No, see something on the news on Tuesday. I fucking did that shit.
She goes to bingo night and they're like, I heard they got your mans. He's got a weird case.
Yo, but I don't really tell her the name of anything.
No.
She thinks I work for Men in Black.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay.
Sounds like schizophrenic.
One of my favorite parts of your character, and this comes up, is how you walk this line of being like oddly specific and also super vague. Because you'll be like, are you familiar with ISIS? And then you're like, you have no idea the shit that we're talking about.
Like, you don't know about these things and stuff.
It's so, and you were like that with your mom, where you were like, it's like the Men in Black, except like way bigger. So you're being so specific, and then you follow it up with like the most vague shit.
She knows everything. But also nothing.
It's a very common theme in your character, and when I'm listening back on the episodes, I'm like, this is such a funny trait that like, for any person. You'd be like, you ever been to the emergency room? And it's like, yeah, it's like, whack shit happens there. Like, what? What happens there?
I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to show you.
What do you mean, whack shit happens in an ER?
Well, I mean, that to me, honestly, and I just got chills, that encapsulates your character so perfectly because their first impression of you. I can pick that lock. How? I do things at night.
Yeah.
But it's such a such a cool character trait.
It's awesome.
And I notice it more and more listening, but when you brought up the conversation with his mom, I just remember that because I think I was giggling. I was just like, Ma, the people I'm working for have no idea. They're like the Men in Black.
But bigger.
Bigger, more better. More huge. Better.
It's so specific too. I love it.
That's awesome.
And it's not you. That's the funny part, is that's not how you talk.
No.
Like, you're not a vague person at all. You're very like to the point. It's something awesome. So funny you do with him.
It's all grunt work.
Yeah.
Art is it's theirs. Art is a grunt work.
I think you guys are about to get tied into some shit. I think ours is a little... It sounds...
I think we're on a more urgent level in terms of urgency.
It sounds too intense on paper for that one to not be more important, in my opinion.
That is how shit kind of tends to go.
I think low-level operatives are on short supply.
Yeah, and we are low-level operatives.
I think, like you know, when like the last crew just died...
Like I imagine there's a high turnover rate of like low end employees.
It's the, HR it's the, pissed. It's the, there is a filter somewhere. Yes. The great filter.
Like that knock on the door was like Avery. He comes his head out and he's like, "Yo, bro." It's like, "What's good?" He's like, "Dude, fucking E-cells cooked. They just got ate by the fucking Sarlacc pit."
Yeah, and so we actually had this conversation, and I would like to revisit it kind of quickly because I do want to get to the game, but we asked ourselves, what's the state of the program right now? Like, because you guys were like, do they have a lot of people? Did they just like hit like a weird turnover thing? Like,
yeah, it seems like not. It seems like they don't have a lot of people right
Well,
now.
It seems like everybody, every mission we've been on, we're following somebody else's fuck up or somebody else has been,
also,
we've been trailing something.
None of them have been anything like the others. So it's not like we're carving out a niche for
G-Cell's really good at this kind of stuff. It's like, okay, Demon Lady bugs, arms dealing,
they're casting a wide net. They want to find out.
And now it's assassinations.
Yeah, we're not HVAC guys. We're not plumbers. We're not tilers. We are handymen.
General labor.
Night workers.
General labor.
Yeah, night workers.
I don't think we've met anyone who knows everything.
So most of the time, especially in like officially published scenarios, there are agents who are mentioned by their code names, and almost always they're like normal names. T-Cell, Agent Tom Taylor, and Tara, right? I have never ran a game of Delta Green where someone has like a person's name as their code name.
Garfield's the closest one.
Agent Jerry Seinfeld.
Agent Jerry underscore Seinfeld. The closest I had was Agent Frazier, Agent Fitzgerald, but both of those are still kind of, you know.
I missed.
So, G-Cell finds themselves separated on individual operations. Gonzo and Galleon soaring above the clouds en route to Chicago, while Gauls and Garfield stand idly in a train station with an alleged H-Cell member. We begin in Portland, Maine, where the man you've been led to believe is Agent Hunk takes a drag of his cigarette and motions towards a TV display. Looks towards you and says, train should be here in 10. What do you guys want to do?
I'm going to hit the bathroom real quick.
Yeah, make it quick.
Yeah, no problem.
Which one of you guys has the bag?
I don't think it was talked about, but...
To establish it now?
I feel like I grabbed it.
So you got two bags?
Doctor's bag and that bag? Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
As Agent Garfield says that, he looks to you. Just make sure you hold on to that, okay? Don't lose it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't plan on it.
What do you do?
I'm heading to the bathroom.
Okay. So this train station is fairly small. There's like these sparsely placed benches made of wood that are scattered about. A lot of wood paneling on stone construction. There you see a teller. There's an automated ticket machine. The list of departure and arrival times that he was pointing to earlier. And the bathrooms are there. You go into the men's room?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's urinals, two stalls, a handicap stall, four sinks.
Just standing at the sink, like looking at myself in the mirror, like trying to think of like what to do.
Gauze, what are you doing?
Is he just standing there with me?
I went to the bathroom.
No, I mean home.
Yeah, he's just standing there. He's smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. Could I get one of those?
Yeah, sure. Kind of open, takes out a pack of cigarettes, Marlboro menthols, opens it, takes one out, hands it to you.
Take it. You got a light?
Yeah. Hands you a yellow Bic lighter.
Kind of fumble with it a bit. Start it up, inhale, and just fucking start coughing up a lung.
Okay.
I don't know when the last time Gauze smoked a cigarette. It's gonna be double digits years, probably. I think to go to the trash can, throw it right out.
Okay, throw it into the trash can. Still,
well,
lit.
I stuff it out on like the lid and just toss it in there.
Toss it in there. Smoke billowing up in the air. People inside, couple that's seated in a bench far beyond, kind of looks at you quizzically. Looks over at the other person, this agent who's still smoking. You guys are inside. Mm-hmm. Smoke is starting to get caught in the ceiling.
Oh, it's like 2019. I forgot.
It's fucking awesome. Smoking six inside.
Garfield.
When we have handlers, like, they don't give us their contact info, right?
Your information that you've been given is the information you're given.
All right.
No exchange of information has been hand-waved.
All right. I'm going to just head back out.
Wash your hands. Step back out. Outside, you see Gauze and the person you are led to believe is named Agent Hunk standing there. Agent Hunk with the cigarette butt puts it on the ground, steps on it on the tiled floor, picks it up and flicks it into a trash can. And you walk over.
I'm like 15 feet away. What is he facing me?
Gauze, yeah.
The other guy.
No, it looks like he's looking and reviewing the list of departure times with his he's kind of side facing you.
Hey, Honk.
Turns around quickly.
Can I get one of them cigarettes?
Yeah, sure. Here. He opens up the pack and just kind of tosses you the pack.
All right. How long before this train gets here?
5 minutes.
All right. I'm going to bust this down real quick.
Okay. Anything else that you guys are doing?
No, I'm just waiting, looking for the train departure screen.
So, Looking at the train departure screen, you do see that there is a train that is, you know, set to be boarded in the next 5 minutes, 3:50. But as well, you also notice that it looks like there are three times that the train runs, three times a day, 8 hours spaced apart. So the next time that the train would be at the station is not for another 8 hours. Just some brief information that you're able to glean from this. There's glass doors in the back that look like they lead to an outside platform, and kind of a few minutes go by before you see pulling into the platform is a train. Sky blue colored, you see white stripes along it, and looks like a attendant walks over, opens up the door and props under like a little rubber triangle to keep the door open, kind of motions for people to make their way out, and you see a group of people, maybe five or six, step up and begin making their way out, and then another pair of two people walk out, and then another pair of two people walk out. Hunk, the person you're led to believe is Hunk, looks at you guys. Let's go.
You're come with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
He begins walking. What do you guys do?
Oh yeah, five tickets, yeah. I just kind of look confused for a second, then start trailing behind him. A little bit behind him.
Fall. Okay. He makes his way out, and you guys step out too. The sun is still hanging in the sky. The train in front of you is billowing out this dark grayish smoke. Smell kind of fills the air. Looks like an older train. There is an attendant who's kind of guiding people on in separate sections. It looks like it's five, maybe peak down six boxcar in length. Person you're led to believe is Agent Hunk makes his way down the platform, and it looks like he's entering on the second boxcar there. What do you guys do? Kind of looks back at the two of you as he's got one foot on the steps up.
Onto the same box train as him, I'll just kind of follow along and...
Right behind.
Mm-hmm.
Stepping up, you can see the inside of the train. It's actually pretty nice. There's paneled wood along the sides, carpeted floors. It looks kind of like old-timey. But it's still nice. It's upkept. There's small paintings that line the walls depicting a lot of different scenes of nature scenes, forests, sailing ships, mountains. There aren't seats, but instead separated rooms that look like they open with a sliding door on there. Very, very, very vintage feel. So, person you're led to believe is Hunk steps up on the second boxcar and he walks backwards towards the back. Looks like he is reaching for the handle to step across into the third boxcar. Opens it up, steps through. You guys following?
Yeah, I'm following close behind him.
Following close behind him. Looks like he's looking in the different rooms, left, right, and then halfway through the third boxcar. It looks like he looks in one, slides open the door, takes a step in, and looks back at you two.
Can't he look inside before? Is he, like, blocking the whole doorway?
No, he just stops for a second. If you guys even, like, meet his gaze, he steps inside.
How's he looking during all this?
Focused? Steps inside, looks back towards the two of you, and then he taps his ear, points up towards the sky, and wiggles his finger around. Starts to look around intently in this smaller room. There's two almost like long seats that face each other. They're not separated into seats, but almost as if they're like benches that are padded. And it looks like he's looking around, peeling up the edges of the cushions there. What are you guys doing?
Do I recognize that as a, from the training we did, that sign for checking for bugs?
No, you do not recognize it, but you also weren't trained on...
Okay. Like hand signs.
Yeah, hand signs or anything like that.
I'll help him.
I think
you
meant his behavior. Like, we don't... Like, is it the same technique we would use to search for bugs?
Oh, I don't... Was that what you were talking about?
What? I was talking about the hand sign he did.
Yeah, he was just referencing the hand sign in general.
I would like to... Is his behavior consistent with what we would do?
Yeah, it seems like pretty much what you were taught. It looks like he's looking around edges, tight corners, stuff like that. He's checking. You see him like tap on the wood. It makes like this hollow sound. He's, you know, looking for different spots and things like that. What do you guys do?
I'm helping look for bugs.
Step inside, looking for bugs.
I'm keeping a watch, at the front, making sure, seeing if anybody's, coming or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Holding the shit down while my team...
You feel a tap on your back, mm-hmm. and you see who you're led to believe is Agent Hunk kind of motion to close the door.
All right. Fill in. Mm-hmm.
And there's a small window that's there that lets you look out, too.
Alright.
You guys almost bump into each other as you and the person you're led to believe is Agent Hunk. At this point, I'm going to refer to him as Agent Hunk. Continues to search through.
Yeah, I've closed my vetting process on him. You can stop gaslighting me.
I just always have to do that.
No, I know.
He's in fact Agent Hunk.
So it seems like he takes some time. You don't notice anything. Seems like he doesn't notice anything. Breathes a sigh of relief and sits down. What do you guys do?
Would I have to roll anything, or can I just look at Honk and is he a disheveled man? Does he seem neat?
I'll give you a general description of him. Middle-aged, maybe late 30s, actually. Collared white polo shirt, like you guys saw before, black slacks, this dark blue jacket that I mentioned. It's not like a dress jacket. It's not like a heavy coat. It looks like it's a windbreaker. You also notice what looks like... roll alertness.
Checking a dude out, rolling alertness.
Yeah.
You fucking aroused right now?
Boner.
79 on a... Jesus Christ, 50.
79 on a 50. The one thing that's kind of hard to miss on his persons is what you see, two small stitch marks on his sleeve, as if there was a patch at one point that's been ripped off. But he looks generally well-kept. His hair is nice, neat, slicked back. It's black. He's got a scar on his cheek, too. It looks very faint, very light, running down the side of his cheek vertically. He kind of sneaks a glance. He looks up, and he sees a sign that says, "Thank you for not smoking." Reaches in his pocket, pulls out a pack of cigarettes, lights up a cigarette, looks over at Gauze. "Can you, did you count that yet? Just make sure it's all right."
I didn't, no.
Yeah, just take a look real quick. We should be good. They're going to take tickets probably in 30, 40 minutes, so we got some time.
All right, I'll take a peek and start counting.
So you open it up. It is U.S. Treasury bonds. You begin the process of counting it. Looks like he's just kind of looking around. He looks out the side window, and you can see that you guys haven't departed yet. The train hasn't started moving. Anything that you do, Garfield?
Nothing in particular.
Take the time, and probably at the point that you finish counting, first of all, it all checks out. 40,000, the correct amount as well. The other thing is, right when you finish, probably as you zip it closed, the train begins moving, and it makes this sound as it begins to depart from the platform. At this point, Agent Hunk finishes his cigarette, puts it out on the side edge of the windowsill, and just lays the butt on its side there. What do you guys do as the train departs? You finish counting.
I'm going to look at Hunk and say, "So are you, you were involved in all this before?"
No, not whatever's going on. I'm not really sure what's going on. They just called me in.
Weird. I don't know. We just got called in too, so.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it is kind of serious, I would suppose. I've never really been on any kind of operation with this level of urgency. But I think they just wanted me because I know the guy that we're going to meet.
The Lodge.
No, so before we go to the lodge, I was told that we have to actually get stuff to drop off there. They set up some sort of deal with this guy there. We'll meet him there, give the bonds, get the guns, drop the guns off at the Elks Lodge. I have no idea what's going on over there. But if I was a betting man, it involves guns, violence. It's probably some D-cell shenanigans or something like that. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Were you guys briefed?
Barely.
No, you know. Same old shit.
Okay. Alright, well, just follow my lead. I'll handle most of the stuff. I guess they just wanted me to have some backup, that's all.
That makes sense. Carrying a lot of cash.
Yeah. But this guy's not dangerous. He's an oddball. He's an older guy. He does, however, have a way of kind of, I guess, getting under your skin. Just kind of appease him. Like I said, he's just a weirdo. I've worked with him in the past. He's reliable. And the program likes him.
It's good enough for me. I mean, I've worked with a lot of unsavory types. I'm not one to let that shit get under my skin, so let's keep pushing.
They said you guys were G-Cell?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Goss.
He looks over at Garfield.
Garfield.
Okay. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Good working with you.
He kind of leans back, kicks his foot up. 10 minutes pass, and you can see the scenery, rural Maine, begin to take hold. 10 minutes past that, you hear a swift knock at the door. Tickets! The door slides open, and the Polar Express guy. He's got the white mustache and the fucking blue suit. Tickets, please. Tickets.
Does he break in a song?
Hup, we got it. Quickly, Hunk takes ticket out and hands it out to the guy. The guy takes it, punches it, gives it back to him.
Give my ticket.
Give the ticket. Give him ticket. Give the ticket. He punches it, gives it back.
You're now entering combat.
We are now entering combat. The door closes, and Hunk kind of like looks at his ticket and kind of like flicks it and puts it back in his pocket. He says, I was told there were going to be two more. What happened?
I don't know. They got
told, quote unquote, change of plans.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah. What else is new? Well, we got 3 hours, so I think they're supposed to be doing food once we get to the other stop. But between here and there, I was looking at the list of the stops and stuff. 3 stops before we actually get to Millinocket. So when the train stops, we'll just stay here.
Okay. Sounds good, yeah. Just hunker down and...
What time is it?
So if you look, it's about like 4:10. Roughly based off of the ticket, it gives you an arrival time of, say, 7:30, roughly.
Is there enough room in the thing to, like, stretch out and sleep or no?
On your side, yeah. So it's basically like 2 padded benches. You can see Hunk kind of like kick his 1 foot up on the edge of the windowsill and kind of lean back. He's like, I'm going to see if I can get some shut-eye. If you guys need me, just wake me up. And he pops his hood up and tightens the drawstrings a little bit and nestles his way into the corner.
Yeah, that sounds good. That's probably what I'm about to do, too.
Yeah, I'll stay up then and make sure nothing, no one knocks at the door or anything like that. There's food to wake you up.
Gotcha. So, as the train continues down the rail, we're going to jump up in the sky. Hello, everybody.
Spirit of the sky. Hello.
Hi.
So, on the Gulfstream, you guys are soaring. Gonzo, you check to kind of see some information on where you've been instructed to go to based on the navigational systems. It looks like it's going to be a 3-hour flight. So you guys...
Where are we flying from? Just a quick question. Washington, right?
Portland, Maine.
Portland, Maine. Yeah. Okay.
Not Portland, Oregon. Portland, Maine. To not Chicago, but a private jet port that looks like it's on the outskirts, like the northern outskirts of Chicago. You should touch down by 6 o'clock p.m. So on this first hour, I want you to kind of describe what Galleon is experiencing on you kind of doing the flight stuff, and also if you guys have any conversations that you guys have.
In the first hour, I definitely... Hey, Galleon. I know Avery seemed a little weird here, but
You think there's something weird going on in A-Cell?
He seemed more frazzled than usual. He might be under a lot of heat or something.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I got that, but I mean, the Angel situation last time, I mean, that was weird too, right?
She wasn't here this time, so...
I know, but over the past two times, who do we have before two? We had Adam. It was Adam, right? And then, I mean...
I think it was Avery, Adam, Avery, right?
Avery, for your briefing on Red Prologue.
Yep.
Avery and Adam for your debrief for Red Prologue. Avery, or Agent Adam, for your briefing for First Blackjack, and Agent Avery and originally Agent Angel for your debriefing on First Blackjack.
Okay, so Avery twice.
Avery three times.
Avery three times, Adam twice.
Correct.
Angel once.
Angel once.
Yes. Who's on first?
I mean, it just feels like, I mean, yeah, Avery's been the consistent note, but I don't know, man. I just get the weird, something weird about this.
It's weird they split us up, too.
Yeah, it's... Something's not sitting right with me.
Yeah, I don't really know. Like I said, he definitely seemed more flustered than usual, but... Like I said, I mean... Something's gotta be strange for them to call us back this soon anyway. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. You're probably right.
A lot going on. How long is this flight going to be?
About 3 hours. When we get over a more rural area.
Lola area.
Rural area. I'll show you something cool.
Okay. How's the flight? Is it bumpy? Are we hitting some turbulence?
I will decide.
Yeah.
And I need you to roll flight small craft.
Fucking way. Is this the first time you've ever asked somebody to roll this?
Yes.
How's the forecast looking?
Let's go, I got a 50.
Actually, start this off with a science meteorology roll.
Oh my god, he's in the mall. Oh, I got a 40 in that. 85 on a 40 for my meteorology.
Clouds don't disperse in the way that you expect. So your flight roll is going to be made, and whatever you roll, you're going to add 10 to. Cloud coverage, wind shifting is unexpected.
43 on a 50 with the plus 10.
Pretty smooth. Pretty smooth flight. And I want to kind of drive this home. As you are sitting in the co-pilot seat for this first hour, you're genuinely impressed at his skills. Obviously, it's not very hard because at a point he just flicks autopilot, sits back, but in his monitoring, you see his eyes shifting quickly, different switches. I'll bring this down, gotta put these flaps up, gotta do this, gotta do that. Very knowledgeable.
Doing this a long time?
I grew up around it. I mean, my dad was... He did some things that around the jets. I'd much rather not go into it right now.
It's cool. I've done a little bit of research into planes. I've never actually been up here for one. Seem like you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I had a little bit of time in the Air Force, so I get it. I know the ins and outs of what needs to be done. And
how old are you again?
26.
What, did you do 4 years and get out?
No, just a year, but I've been around them. I've been around them for a while.
You did 1 year in the Air Force?
Yeah. I dropped.
Oh. Dishonorable discharge?
No, I just couldn't handle all the rules.
So you're just... guy with a pilot's license. Do you own this plane?
No, this ain't mine. This is fronted through the agency.
Oh. I didn't know they did that. Can I roll human in on him?
Go ahead. Roll human intelligence.
Oh, 55 on a 51.
55 on
a
51.
It's a crit fail.
loves it all.
You don't really read too much into it. You're not able to get a beat whether he's...
I'm just like, oh, that's really fucking cool. I didn't know they gave out planes.
You're not sure?
Yeah, they gave it to me.
I don't even have a car. I'd like to have one. That's pretty cool.
You get like 68 cents per mile or something?
Yeah, that's crazy. No, it's pretty cool. No, it's cool.
Yeah, I mean...
What's that process like? How do you just drop out of the military? Did you just go rogue?
No, I did it honorably. I mean, it just wasn't something that I felt I could be comfortable in. There was definitely some back and forth between me and my higher-ups.
So you've just been, like, pilot for hire for the past, like, 7 years or so?
Yeah. I got my license and continued on.
Nice. Where'd you get your license?
University.
What university?
UDell.
I didn't know they had a pilot program.
Engineering.
Oh, you're an aeronautical engineer. That's cool. I have my master's in history. Wanted to teach it for a while, but kind of just taken a job at the university. Now it's more of just an engine for passion research projects, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I only got the engineering degree just so I could get on the plane.
Pretty cool. Got a girl at home?
Yeah, looking to propose soon, actually.
Congrats.
Gotta make sure I'm set up, though, moving forward, you know?
Yeah.
Hopefully, program keeps, can get us some money soon. Some serious money.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I'm engaged, but feels like I've been in the doghouse since we've been away so much. It's hard not telling them.
Yeah, especially with all the time away. I mean, girl had a fit last time because my messages weren't going through. I have no idea why. I mean,
I just keep telling her I'm being sent out to look at artifacts and shit. I don't think she believes a word of it.
Yeah, the pilot job definitely helps.
Lucky you. Maybe you teach me how to fly this thing. I'll have a better excuse.
When we get over Ohio, I kind of call over the radio.
Request for open flight between 30,000 and 40,000 feet. One moment. You're clear. Go ahead.
And then I flick the fasten your seatbelt sign on.
Very cute. What are you doing?
Feel this. And then I go almost into a zero-G maneuver, like on an angle where he almost feels like he's lifted up out of his seat, just kind of held down by the seatbelt. This is why I do what I do.
Roll flight.
Oh, God.
That's 24 and a 50.
Smooth, seamless, and operational. Ask me if you could have crashed the plane there.
Could I have crashed the plane there?
155%. I swear to Christ. Or gotten close.
I did not like that. What was that? What did you just do?
The sense of pull hits you as you can feel your body tighten. Your muscles are hard to move as you try to lift your hands and just this... And he pulls the nose back up.
What was that? I did not like that.
That's what this is about.
You enjoy this. This is something you like.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Out the window now, below the cloud coverage, you can see this large swath, farmland, and scattered trees, and the sun. Interesting angle that it hits that almost casts a blanket of sunlight over all this land. It looks empty. You bring it back up above the clouds?
Yeah, go back up to 40,000 cruising flight, or cruising height.
Gradually bringing it back up. You guys hit back above the clouds, probably about halfway through your flight. An hour and a half left.
What do you make of this guy? Charles Winston.
I don't know, there's not enough in there for me to get a heads or tails of him.
Retired FBI agent, has knowledge of the program. It doesn't say how.
Yeah, what's weird is, I mean, FBI, cult, and program? I mean, that's a huge trifecta of different information.
I guess what's interesting, it says the group was destroyed by the program. How did he gain knowledge about the program in that process?
Did the program take him in from... I almost want to know more about this guy.
I don't know. It almost seems like someone messed up. That might have been why Avery was acting so weird. Like, he might think the whole program's in jeopardy at this point.
We're going to a...
But again, why put us on it?
We're going to a laundromat, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to a laundromat in Chicago.
ASL's going to give us more information?
Yeah, it's just... Something seems off. Something seems off about this whole thing. I mean, on paper, it almost seems like it should be bigger than us. I mean, maybe there's already some involvement and we're going in to do some dirty work. It's just... I don't know how... I don't know. I'm probably overthinking it, but something just doesn't seem right to me. It doesn't seem right that knowledge is out there and they know that he has plans to leak it and they haven't already done anything. Like I told you about the Ravenna Michelle's thing, right?
No. What happened with her?
When I was home for felt like no time at all, I was, you know, looking into her a little bit just to see if anything came out, if, you know, what we framed her of doing, you know, got her in any trouble or whatever, and it was like minutes. I got a hit. It was a, you know, kind of like an obituary, where her and her husband died under mysterious circumstances. And then as I was scrolling down, like error 404'd on me, and then, you know, I refreshed the page and it was gone. Like there was a dead link. So it was posted for maybe a couple minutes, and then it was immediately wiped. I mean, that can't be a coincidence. So it just seems strange to me that they know this guy might have information and plans to leak it. They would go out and do something to Ravenna Michelle's like that. At least I think they did. I don't know, but this guy's allowed to keep walking around.
I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not surprised they whacked Ravenna.
Well, I don't know that for a fact. I just it's weird that I saw that, and again, I have no proof, but it seems a little, yeah. it seems likely for sure.
I don't want to put on the tinfoil hat, but if there's no need to put on the hat, let's call it for what
it is. Sure. And like I said, I wouldn't have brought it up if I wasn't heavily hinting at it. It's weird that this guy's allowed to live. They send us to go and handle something like this, but then
his name on there? On the debrief?
Yeah, Charles Winston.
When we land, let's just try and do a quick Google search of him before we...
Yeah, that's fine.
You have your smartphone on you, right?
Yeah, I do.
Maybe we go to the library.
I should be able to, if I use my login, get into some of the archives. I might be able to see if there was anything published about him, newspapers, things like that. I might be able to do some cursory research. No Wi-Fi on the plane, I assume?
No, definitely not.
Nope.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No Wi-Fi? Not on the Gulfstream.
Okay. No problem. Yeah.
I will give you Wi-Fi if both of you succeed on a luck roll without re-rolling. Go now.
Yeah, you looked at me like you had it too.
87, brother. I'm sorry.
Nope.
All right. When we land, I'll see if I can log into to my university portal. I might be able to pull some archives. It most likely won't be the most expansive because a lot of the older stuff, it's like a physical record in the actual university. But anything that's been digitized, I should be able to pull up.
Yeah. Let's just go to somewhere. I don't want to say public, but somewhere where we don't have to worry about being on our network, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we can go to a Starcox or I don't know if they have Dunkin's out here, but...
The Burger Queen always had some computers in there when I was younger.
Yeah, but weren't they for, like, weird games? I
used to play CartoonNetwork.com games on the Burger King.
Used to go on AddictingGames.com.
Oh, yeah, I was on Kongregate like a motherfucker.
I think we're just... For the sake of brevity, we're small talk at this point. We can probably...
Both of you guys take a program point. As you guys crest on that mark and eventually cross into Illinois. Location, landing, begin your descent, making your way down. As mentioned, it is around 6 o'clock as you come in to see what looks like a smaller Jetport. You actually cross over, and you can see on your descent as you're at a lower altitude below to see the city lit up, skyscrapers, whole nine yards. Weather looks clear, weather looks nice. Make your way down, cross over it to the north, and you can see as you're coming down a small, very small Jetport.
Before we touch down, I do one pass over the city and kind of bank the plane with so his window's towards the city, just so we can get a view of the skyline from up above.
And that's easy enough to do, and it does look pretty fucking cool. You've been on airplanes before, but this level of almost freedom feels kind of good, and it's interesting, and it gives you kind of a perspective on flight craft that you didn't have before. Beginning your descent, you do kind of clock into the frequency to get in contact with this Jetport, DeLounge Executive Airport, which gives you clearance to land. Very small landing strip, but you're able to maneuver, able to get the gear down or whatever and fucking get it down. And there's a guy who kind of begins to motion you to kind of bring it into what looks like there's only four hangars here, and they're fairly small hangars. Looks like they can fit probably two or three crafts of your size in each of the four hangars. Motions you into one of the empty ones.
As we're being taxied in, I do check around. It's just the one guy on the... Is there any other kind of motion going on the airstrip?
Yeah, you do see what looks like a forklift unloading cargo out of a larger cargo plane off to the end, in the farthest hangar.
Call sign of the cargo plane? Is it look military or does it look kind of like commercial?
Oh, wow. Good question. Roll alertness.
Five on a 60.
MP insignia indicative that it is a military craft. U.S. military specifically.
Okay. We're still being taxied, right?
Yep.
Hey, take note of the call sign on that tail wing.
Point it out and you're able to get it. I'm not going to dictate exactly what the call sign is, but there is verbiage and a call sign that's on there to specify this specific aircraft.
Okay. I'll just jot it down in my notes.
Gotcha. And you are taxied in, like I said, able to kind of get into the hangar, and the guy just kind of like walks away.
Any other planes in the hangar, or is it just our
plane? No, this hangar is just your plane.
Okay. Before we kind of put the... I don't know how they do that on these small jetliners. I guess they roll the stairs up and then they open the doors.
Yes.
That's got to be how it goes.
Yes.
Before I start to do the disembarking process, I do one last check and check all of the undercarriage above the... carry-on luggage containers? I don't know what the hell they're called. The overhead
luggage? The overhead compartments?
Yeah. I just do one last check of all
those.
Yeah,
no. To reiterate it, there is nothing that is any different. There is no additional cargo that has been stowed on your plane in any capacity.
Okay. Yeah.
Of note as well, you used up almost perfectly the amount of fuel. You will need a full refueling, but they only put in as much fuel as necessary for this specific trip.
Shit.
Considering the weight as well.
Yo, where are you out of?
Philly?
I just kind of do some quick mental math and figure out how much fuel I need to get to Philly and then also back to Baltimore.
You might need to refuel in Philly.
Okay. Just in case I gotta drop you off.
Okay. Who pays for the fuel?
That's none of my business either.
Oh, shit. Okay. Nice. Okay. So we landed?
Yes. He has yet to begin the disembarkment process of trying the stairs, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, just kind of... All right. Once I've kind of set all my stuff, I just double check my mags loaded in my gun, safety's on, and kind of put it in my front holster.
Yeah, I have a gun now, too. I see you do it, and I kind of pull mine out, and I pop it, and I spin it again, and I'm like, yeah! But I don't...
He said, I have a gun now, too.
I don't have a holster, though, so I think I'm, like, kind of, like, tucking it in my belt.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah, in the waistband.
Then I'm, like, quickly covering it with my hoodie.
I love the growth of your character. As he, like, slowly gets, like, more willing to do, like...
Are we taking... things? So, the rest of the contents of that manila envelope, which contains the briefing...
The photo.
The photo that has the address written under it, and the 12 loose bullets.
I think I'm just taking the whole manila.
So, this is a small plane. You said it was, like, 6-seater?
6 to 10, yeah, 12
is
maybe.
Is there anything on this plane that would have, like a small fridge or anything like that?
I imagine you have a mini fridge as well as, like, a general first aid kit, a bathroom that is stocked with basic essentials, toilet paper, and different toiletries.
Is there... This is so stupid. Is there anywhere on this plane that might have just, like, a Ziploc baggie?
First aid kit.
I would say that the first aid kit has...
Yeah, can I go in there and maybe, like, take one of those, the clear... I can't remember what they're called, but it usually always has, like, gauze in it or something where you can, like... It's like almost like a fruit snack thing, but it's clear. Where it's like
just a plastic wrap?
Yeah, like the cellophane wrapping.
Yeah.
Is there anything in there like that?
Oh yeah, that's easy enough.
Can I just do that, dump it out, and then put the bullets in that little baggie, roll it up, and throw it in my pocket?
Absolutely.
That was really dumb, but I just wanted to...
No, easy enough to do. You kind of go into the first aid cabinet, pop the lock, open it up, and there's like a package that has some gauze in it. Take the gauze out, and you're like, oh, I miss gauze. And then you put the gauze back
in. Takes a moment in the first
aid thing. Gauze is doing with his anxiety.
And then you take that clear wrapping, put the 12 bullets in it, wrap it up, put it in your pocket.
Awesome.
Easy enough.
That's all I wanted to do. And then, yeah. And then this thing holds 6. It's a revolver?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So I have 3, and it's loaded, right?
Yes.
All right, so I have 3 full.
Okay, cool. Before you go putting it, will those bullets fit your gun?
Oh, shit.
Easy enough, based on your precursory training that you received, those bullets fit that gun.
Okay. Yeah, they do. Good call. Yeah, they fit.
He's looking at it like a fucking shape thing. He's got the fucking thing.
I'm like trying to read the numbers. I'm like, what's the expiration date on these things?
357. Yeah, this is a 357.
You ever seen the fucking video where the dude keeps dropping the shapes through the wrong hole and the lady's getting so mad?
Yeah, like square hole.
Yep. The
I've
square
seen a video
hole. She's like, you disembark?
Yeah.
Go through the procedure, disembark, and you see kind of rather quickly two guys come up. They're wearing, like, high-vis vests, and they kind of just step up. One of them comes close. Refueled for what destination? Given clearance?
Philly, but give me another 150 miles.
All right. Gulfstream, we're going to have to... We'll give them clearance to refuel you at Philly, and then for 150 miles, you said?
Going back to Baltimore. I just want to make sure I can get there easily.
Philly to Baltimore. All right, we'll get in contact with Philly. We'll give them information to fill you up with extra fuel to get you to Baltimore afterwards.
All right, appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Your name?
John. Wendigo.
John.
Crazy.
Walk.
Pleasure. Listen, you're going to be the only plane in this hangar. We're going to keep it sealed, so... Whatever you need, if you got to get in contact with anyone, all the workers here, you know, we're on the level.
Understood. Just make sure nobody comes in here.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got 24/7 security.
Appreciate it.
Gives you a nod.
Start making my way towards, small airport, like front desk.
Yeah. So you make your way out, and as you're kind of stepping out of the hangar, you notice that they're closing up the stairs, and it looks like they're, like, you know, doing different preparations around. They're checking, like, the air and the tires and shit like that. You make your way out to the tarmac, and you can see what looks like it's very simple, very simply laid out. There's, like, big doors that lead back into, like, the main concourse of the actual airport. It's very, very small, and it looks like this is for mostly private planes, no commercial craft. And you look around, there's no place that they could store commercial craft. But you make your way in. It looks very simple, very organized. There's no stores particularly set up here, like fast food or bars or anything like that. But there is, like, a general administrative setup that's in there, as well as what looks like a joint to the side of it, an Expedia for renting cars.
First thing I do is I go up kind of to the main lobby and just say, Agent Gonzo, and see if there's any response from the lady at the... front desk.
She looks up. Who?
Gonzo.
About what?
Car.
And she kind of like looks around, kind of confused. I don't know. Can I help you with something?
Nah, sorry, wrong person. And just start walk off immediately.
Okay.
Any responses to my heading out text?
No, as you land, you don't get any response on that.
Damn.
All right, can I just maintain a general check-in?
Are you double texting?
Yeah, I'm going to double text.
Okay.
If I look back, can I see him kind of checking out his phone?
Yeah, you see him tic-tacking on his computer phone.
Hey.
Location always off.
So I don't mean to be weird.
256 gigabytes. Location always off.
I don't mean to be weird, but you think those are going through?
I hadn't really thought about it. Why? It says delivered.
My point exactly. I got into it with my girl last time.
I'm gonna text Uncle.
Text Uncle Rob?
Yeah.
Shoot him a text. And also to say, you've gotten responses from Lily before.
Yeah.
Shoot a text to Uncle Rob. What does it say?
Uncle Rob, you get my messages? My phone's acting up.
Within 10 seconds, you get a response that's a close-up selfie of his face. It says Y-E.
Yeah.
Yeah, it went through to my uncle.
I look at the message and audibly grin and just go.
You audibly grin?
Or audibly. Yeah, audibly grin.
You hear the sound of his mouth cracking.
Visibly righteous.
As his smile grows off of his face.
Ear-to-ear grin.
Yeah.
And just go, all right.
Yeah. No, I think it's fine. I was thinking about it. I don't know if I want to tap into the archives from a public computer. I might be a little bit more limited from my phone. I just think it's a little bit... I think if I log in at an IP address, they're going to know where I'm at. I think that might be an issue.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. I was just trying to be a little bit more secure. Whatever you think is best, man. I don't know how this shit goes.
Can I see what... It's an iPhone in 2019. Can I try... I imagine there's no mobile version of this site, but can I try to get into my portal for the university and get into the archives?
Oh, 2019 had portals on the
Do you begin that process of doing that?
I'm going to try and do it on my phone, especially if we're going to be renting a car.
No, it absolutely seems like it's feasible. Cool. Obviously, the layout is going to be a little bit like more hard to kind of navigate and move it side and up and like get to the... And the hyperlinks are like really, really tiny and you have to press it like three times.
Sure.
But yeah, you can do it. All absolutely.
Right, cool. I'm going to do
your login, get in, and
I'm going to start the process from my phone. And... Once I get into the portal, I'm going to go to local archives, punch in Chicago, Illinois, and then type in the name Charles Winston.
Okay. Two articles come up.
Cool.
One of which, the first one, looks like it was posted last year in like the summertime. Local Rotary Club of Chicago congratulates Charles Winston for his $10,000 donation. There's a picture attached to the article.
Does it match the picture in the file?
Yes.
Cool.
You can see a guy who's posing. He's got his two thumbs up. It looks like the picture of Charles that you've been given in the photo. A bunch of kids kind of standing around him that are smiling, and looks like they're all happy.
And that was last year?
Yeah, last summer.
What was the charity?
Rotary, the Rotary Club.
Yeah, local Chicago Rotary Club. It doesn't specify what exact branch or sub-designation of the Rotary Club.
And you just assume there's... children involved in the just from the picture.
In the photo, it looks like that there's some kids that are like next to him smiling, maybe like six or seven of them.
And then what's the second article?
The second article is what looks like a small middle school in Chicago that is talking about guest speakers that they had at an assembly. One of them which mentions Charles Winston, recently retired FBI agent, spoke to the children about possible careers in federal law enforcement.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Wow, he spoke about it.
He accidentally slipped some information and they got to get rid of the whole school.
Yeah, for real.
I fucking told them about the aliens. Oh my god.
careers in law enforcement in general?
Federal law enforcement.
Okay.
It also goes on to mention different guest speakers of different career paths. An astronaut came, a scientist, you know, different stuff like that.
Okay. I just kind of like smirk, and I look at Gonzo, and I go, "Hey, Gonz, I found a couple articles on the guy. Nothing."
Oh, I'm sorry. There also is a picture in that second article, which does match the photo of Charles Winston.
Okay. Yeah, I found two articles in the guy. Both are pretty positive. One of them's from a Rotary Club, and one's from like a small, like middle school looking paper. I hate to even say this, but the only two things publicly about him are involving kids. That might be a way to discredit this fellow
Come
a little
on,
bit.
Man. Why do you gotta... You don't got...
I'm just saying, he's around kids a lot in the public. No.
I mean, if it's a lead, it's a lead.
I'm not saying much, but this is him. And I kind of show him the picture on my phone.
Yeah.
And then I scroll the other one, I show you the picture on her phone. That matches what's in the file.
Can I just, like, make this canon that we were making our way to the...
Yeah, as you guys are walking to Expedia.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I just wanted to
This is, like, on the concourse, and there's no one around.
Okay.
You know?
Jesus Christ. All right, this got way weirder.
Yeah. Yo, give me a second. I want to go see if the airport has an ATM in there. I don't think we want to put a card down unless you have some. It seems like you have some benefits with the program. I don't. You got a program card.
I'm gonna let you in on a little something. I got no idea what the fuck I'm doing.
Okay, me neither. I'm gonna go check for an ATM real quick.
Yeah, I'm gonna go take a leak.
All right. So Gonzo makes his way to the bathroom. Galleon, you see an ATM probably like 15, 20 feet away from you.
All right.
Make your way up.
Yeah, credit card, cash, advance, no debit.
Gotcha. Easy enough to get that. How much you take out?
Can I do a roll personally for nothing just because I want to randomly generate a number?
Go for it.
Thanks.
Take out $3 million.
Yeah. No, that's...
He looks at his savings and he's like, the whole 401k is wiped.
I'll be honest. I've literally rolled for credit limit in thousands.
Awesome.
36,000 credit limit. I'm taking out a grand.
Taking out a thousand.
I'd say what 25%. I could probably get in the cash advance.
Yes.
So I think a grand is well within reason.
Easy enough.
Thanks.
$1,000 cash advance out of the ATM.
All right.
Begins to buzz it out. Puts it out in $100 bills.
Cool. Go back to the Expedia, and I just kind of like, you know, flash the cash. I was like, I don't want to put a card down.
Anything that Gonzo does in the bathroom specifically, or just.
Yeah, freshening up, just kind of making himself a little bit more presentable.
Oh, gotcha. You doing your makeup?
Yeah, I'm a pilot, you know. When you come into the place, you got to look a little bit presentable.
Okay, I gotcha. Right.
Work the fit.
Expedia.
So powdering like into things. Expedia, there is a woman behind the desk. She hangs up a phone, kind of as you enter in, and she looks up. How can I help you?
Like to rent a vehicle, something small, fuel efficient, if you have it.
Yeah, we have a few options available. What size are we looking at?
Mid-size sedan.
Mid-size sedan. Okay, well, we have a 2017 Ford Focus available.
Yeah, American made.
Do you have anything prepared for Gonzo?
Gonzo has a last name? Let me look. No reservations.
Anything for a Galleon?
How do you spell G A
L L E O N? I think.
You got it.
No.
Oh, just making sure. Make sure our company wasn't involved.
Yeah, one more thing. Anything under Claremont?
Claremont. Let me look. Yes, Pierce Claremont? Yes, sure. We have a reservation for you set and paid for.
Beautiful.
It is a 2014... Corolla? Black.
That'll do.
Okay, we got the keys for you. It's actually out in the parking lot out front.
Damn,
spot
out on us.
37.
Did he hear my name?
He did.
Well, he knew it anyway, didn't he?
I knew Pierce. I didn't know Claremont.
God damn it.
Says that there is a secondary driver on here. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I just need your driver's license and the secondary driver... Okay. John Walker?
Walker?
Yeah.
Just gotta see your guys' driver's license, get him scanned, and we'll get you going.
I
reluctantly hand it over, and it's a old, it's my high school photo. I haven't had my photo ID changed since then.
Okay. It's all, like, pimple-ridden.
Yeah, like, it's horrible. I'm, like, just like, son of a bitch.
She looks over at you.
I do not think I have it.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, if he needs to be the exclusive driver, that's completely fine.
Yeah, is it in my name? We just need to get this moving.
Yeah, I can rework it. Just, you know, for, and she begins typing on the keyboard, for legal reasons, you just can't drive the vehicle at any time.
That's fine.
If you get in an accident, anything like that, you're not going to be covered under it. There is insurance that's on file, and we'll go through with that. John Walker, you are going to be the primary driver, and just going to print this out, get you sign it, and here goes your ID back.
Motherfucker, I flew here, too. I was expecting you to drive.
As long as I don't crash, who gives a shit?
A few moments pass, and she kind of smirks, overhearing that, prints out the thing, hands you over the, it looks like a packet to sign. Just sign right at the bottom there, and initial on the second page.
All right. I actually... Just make sure that there's nothing else written on here that kind of... I actually do look over the terms.
Yeah, so you go through the terms. They seem above board, general, nothing out of the ordinary that seems to jump out at you.
And I do a chicken scratch signature that isn't my typical one.
Easy enough, just kind of like a line straight through.
Yeah.
Okay. Easy enough. Fold that up. She sticks out the keys. It's right outside.
All right, appreciate it. And just start making my way to the car.
Have a nice day, gentlemen.
Toss me the keys.
I just throw them.
make your way outside. The sun's still in the sky. It's probably around like 6:30 by the time that you guys are wrapped up out there. Make your way into the parking lot and begin to make your way to the car. You see the car right up there. Toyota Corolla Black 2014. Easy enough to find it. Check the keys. Keys work. Car's unlocked.
Can...
Hey, open the trunk.
Yeah, I was going to anyway. I just want to do a perimeter. I want to look at the wheels. I want to look at the rims. I want to look at the license plate.
Yep. Everything looks stock Illinois license plate.
Cool. Pop the trunk.
Anything in there?
Pop the trunk. There is nothing in there, no.
Check underneath where the spare tire is. Anything in there?
Yeah, check underneath there. Nothing in there. If you take the time, go through the glove, go through under the seats, take the seats, you know, pop them out, do whatever. Nothing else in this car.
Cool. Car in decent condition?
Seems to be, yeah.
Cool. All right, open the door, start it, look at the odometer.
Odometer reads 00000.
Brand new, baby. 2014, untouched. It's a good year.
What's the plate start with? Is it a... I imagine Johnny would know this, too. It's not a rental car plate numbers, or is it, like, standard plate numbers?
No, this is standard plate numbers. I'm not sure of the composition of Illinois license plate, so I'm going to look it up real quick.
Yeah, because I know that rental cars have their own specific license plate.
Yep. Yeah, so it's two letters.
Okay.
It says CD and then a string of five letters. So it says CD 80519.
Because you're on the site, I'm going to assume that is a civilian license plate style.
You would imagine so. There's no designation that this is a government vehicle in any way, shape, or form.
Or a rental vehicle.
Correct.
Okay. I just note, hey, this is an unmarked car.
Cool. Buckle up. I don't drive much. And
I start. I white knuckle the door.
The O'Shea.
The O'Shea. All right. As he says that.
So, plotting your next steps in Chicago, the two of you begin to embark on Operation Dawning Lamb. While the other two. The second half of G-Cell finds themselves on a train ride to Millinocket, Maine, still fractured, still separated on two individual operations. G-Cell continues their nights at the opera when we pick up next session.
Thank you for listening to this installment of 12 Gauge, a Nasty Table production.